we all knew in those last days before the launching. George W. Osborne, Ph.D. Major General USAF, RET. Chapter 1, First Flight. On a crisp, bright fall day, a tiny white sports plane knifed its way through the sky at close to 200 knots true airspeed. As it neared a private airport which served a medium-sized Midwestern city, the pilot applied the carburetor heat, pulled back on the power, and dropped below the deck of broken cumulus clouds, which hung like a layer of thick cotton puffs a mile above the ground. As soon as the plane entered the air below the clouds, it began to buck sharply in the rough air. A stiff wind was blowing, and the frequent sharp gusts kept the pilot busy holding the little ship on course. When a particularly strong thermal caused the plane to jump sharply in the air, the pilot leaned his head back and laughed. He had a lean, narrow face, and although he was only 25 years old, hard lines had already formed around the corners of his mouth. His eyes were dark and fairly close together. Right now, they betrayed the unusual stimulation which the rough air was having on him. He had the peculiar type of constitution which, even when frequently abused, is characterized by a stomach that can endure almost anything. The rougher the air became, the more he appeared to enjoy it. As the plane swept down closer to the ground, the pilot dropped the wheels and, after a quick look around at the sky, dipped his right wing to turn into the runway. Halfway through the turn, he put on the flaps. A few seconds later, he felt the wheels sink onto the runway at 70 miles an hour. Smiling to himself, as though proud of his achievement in setting the plane down crosswind on a day when the surface gusts were Beaufort 6, he taxied swiftly on his tricycle gear up toward the gas pump, where he could see the line boy waiting, ready to signal him into position. His lips curled into a slight, tight smile. The pilot ignored the line boy and swung his plane onto the gas pit apron and cut the switch. Once the engine was still and the prop had stopped turning, he paused to light a cigarette and then stepped out onto the ground.
"I'm sorry, sir," the line boy told him. "There's no smoking on the flight line, and especially in the gas pit area."
"Look?" the pilot asked.
"Are you telling me what to do?"
The line boy flushed but stood his ground.
"No, sir, I'm informing you what the field rules are. Will you please put out your cigarette so I can get the gas hose out for you?"
The pilot took his time, committing himself to nothing, while he carefully studied the line boy as he might have looked at a force diagram on a blackboard. He saw a young man who might be 18. He observed that the line boy was perhaps 5'9", moderately well-built, and had an average, undistinguished sort of face. At the same time, the pilot sensed that this particular line boy would not back down from his demand that the cigarette be put out before the gas pit cover would be lifted. Although it was still early in the morning, the pilot needed gas, and the line boy had the advantage. Carelessly, the pilot took a long draw on his cigarette, blew the smoke out through his nose, and then crushed the cigarette slowly under the sole of his shoe. The line boy lifted the pit cover, pulled up the hose, and asked,
"Shall I top you off on both sides?"
Slowly, the pilot nodded his consent.
"You know enough to allow some room for expansion, don't you?"
The line boy nodded calmly.
"Yes, I do."
He snapped open a gas cover and began to feed fuel into the left wing tank. The pilot watched him for a moment and then asked,
"What's your name, kid?" "Dick Simmons." "You ought to know enough, Simmons, to be more diplomatic with the customers who fly in here. Pilots don't like to have line boys tell them what they are supposed to do."
The line boy stopped the gas flow at the nozzle and turned around to face the pilot squarely.
"If it comes to that," he replied, "a pilot ought to know better than to light up in a gassing area, especially on a gusty day. And when I reminded you, it was to protect you and your plane against what could be a serious accident."
The pilot did not answer.